Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Relationships, love, and sex, the spices of life, driving us all and commanding the wheel, is the media darling in the complex world of human behavior. Expert therapist, author, and radio host, Dr. Jane Greer. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy this fast-moving ride with fascinating guests. HealthyLife.net welcomes you to the Doctor on Call Hour with Dr. Jane Greer.
How is while you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Doctor on Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. And it is great to be kicking off the September season of Doctor on Call, and I've got some exciting news to share. Shrink Wrap, where we talk about what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of celebrity relationships, well, it is going to be expanding from one segment to two segments, which means there's going to be even more time to splurge on all the latest celebrity happenings and explore what we can learn from them. And joining me for each show is going to be Jay Cruz, our quintessential producer and the Velvet Voice here at HealthyLife.net Radio. So stay with us because it's going to be an exciting and insightful season ahead. Right now, though, we're going to get started with my first guest, Ron Penby, who's the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. Ron is a leader in the conscious aging movement, and he's going to share his insights on how to navigate the later stages of life with purpose, vitality, and mindfulness, drawing from the wisdom in his highly acclaimed book. And I'm delighted to have you here on the show, Ron. Welcome so much. Nice to have you here.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jane. It's good to be with you today.
Well, let's jump right in because, boy, aging is, you know, sort of like the buzzword across the country right now because of everything going on the political spectrum. But your book emphasizes the concept of conscious aging. So let's talk, can you explain what that means, and let's talk about how does that differ from the traditional view of aging?
Well, Dr. Jane, I think it differs from a really big way. The traditional, and by traditional, I guess I mean the mainstream view that's been mainstream in the world we live in for, you know, at least a couple generations. The mainstream view of aging is not a very empowering view for older adults. And basically, it seems to say that by the time we reach retirement age, our time of contribution, of service, of making a significant difference in the world is really near its end. And but there's not a positive vision for how older adults can have a meaningful role in life, can be of service, can be continually growing. That's something that traditional societies had up until maybe, you know, several generations ago, but we don't have that now. Conscious aging is an understanding that our years after retirement can be a time of incredible growth and fulfillment and service if we choose to let them be that. They can be a time when we don't lose our relevance just because we have retired. We have an opportunity to continue to truly thrive. But it really does require letting go of a lot of the ageist mindset that seems to permeate our society and that most of us have internalized, and really see that we can indeed grow in incredible ways in these later years of our life. And we could do it, but we have to be conscious and intentional about how we do it. It's not going to happen if we just sit around and somehow hope it's going to happen.
Yes, I think that's so well put. And when we think about conscious, we think about awareness and, as you say, intention and thinking about it, not just going through the motions or just allowing things to happen to us, but really trying to be aware and put some thought into what we're going to do. So let me ask you this, two questions. Firstly, when we talk about retirement, you know, we tend to think conceptually, well, you're done, you're finished, you finished your career, you're done working, and it's the sort of the end, the finish line. So question number one is, what is the age that people look to retire or actually retire? It's changed over the course of time. And how does that sync up with where they are at in their lives?
Well, I think that now retirement age is generally considered to be somewhere around 65 or 66. When my father, I'm 76 now, when my father retired, I mean, that seems like forever ago. And at that particular point, he couldn't count on many more years to live. And he worked really, really hard physically. And so he had a few years to just kind of, you know, putter around the house and not many years ahead of him. But things have changed so much. And now I think the average lifespan is somewhere near 80. A great many people are living well into their 80s, even into their 90s. There's a whole lot of years ahead of them after retirement age. And you know, if you have 20, perhaps 25 years ahead of you, just puttering isn't going to bring you satisfaction. It's not going to make you alive. It's not going to give you good health. It's not going to give you that all-important sense of purpose. And so that's why we need an empowering vision for aging that shows people that in these many years after retirement, they don't have to retire from life, even though they may be retiring from a career.
So it's the end line or the finish line. It's the period in a paragraph to begin to turn the page and start a new chapter. When you talk about, you know, thinking and being conscious about what you're doing, what are some of the things that you encourage people to think about? Like, what are things they should be thinking about? It would certainly be, I would imagine people would think, well, it's daunting. What am I going to do? Start a new career now? I just retired. What can they be thinking about or looking to be aware of and attend to enhance their vitality and to make this a new stage of life that's filled with promise and opportunity?
Well, Dr. Jane, there are many things that people can be thinking about, and we strongly encourage people to begin this exploration before they retire, not the day after they retire and all of a sudden they find that, whoa, you know, I used to have a structured, full life, full purpose, and now, you know, they're just a big hole. But right. people can be looking at the beliefs that they're carrying with them. And, you know, we've got so many ageist beliefs in the society around us, and the fact of the matter is that since we have grown up in this society, we've internalized many of them. And so one thing people can do is take a look at and see how many of these beliefs have I internalized that may not be true, but somehow they've become a part of me. People can be taking a look at, you know, an important part of the conscious aging, conscious eldering work that I do and write about and encourage is using this time of our life to really look back on our lives, do some significant review of our lives. And one thing people can be doing is looking to see throughout my life what brought me most alive. You know, when I was doing what, whether it's in my work life or in my non-work life, when I was doing what, did I feel most truly alive and engaged and excited to be in this world? Because if that brought us great aliveness earlier in our life, then those kind of things have the potential to bring us great aliveness in the latter stages of our life too. It may not be the exact same thing, but it's certain type of things that we really want to find ways to bring into our life now. And the more we do that, and the more we use aliveness kind of as our barometer, then the more we're going to begin to get a sense of what's most important to us in our elder years.
It's a great suggestion. I'm wondering, as I'm listening to you, have you experienced, though, because I know when I talk to people who are retired or are contemplating it, that sometimes when they reflect back, their reflection is punctuated by regrets. They regret that they stayed in a career so long because they felt locked in because of the finances and, you know, don't have the energy or the inclination to do exactly what you're saying, what they wanted to do when they were younger and felt alive, whether it was, you know, go traveling or horseback ride, things that require a certain amount of energy and or a certain level of physical health to still be intact as we get older. All kinds of things start to happen, from arthritis to, you know, you name it. People have a million aches and pains that, you know, that get in the way of doing exactly what you're saying, reaching out to embrace the things that made them feel alive or they would like them to be able to do to feel alive. So how do you tackle? I mean, have you encountered that people do have regrets? And if so, how do you address that?
Oh, yes. A lot of people have regrets. And in fact, as by the time we get up to, into our 60s, you know, all of us have worn the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. We have all had big challenges. We've
well
all been
said.
Wounded. We've all made mistakes. We've all done a lot of things that can be heavy, heavy baggage that can totally sap our energy and our confidence and our joy and our hope for the future if we don't deal with them. And that's why a critical part of this work of conscious aging or conscious eldering is spending some time taking a look at those things that sap our energy and doing our best to find ways to heal them or to let go of them. And specifically, you know, one example, many, many of us carry resentments. A lot of
right.
things have not been forgiven in others around us, you know, or
right.
forgiven ourselves. And a big part of this work is doing this work of forgiveness, realizing that hanging on to these resentments just saps our energy, and letting go of them, doing our best to forgive. And in terms of regret, there are two different ways I see of dealing with regret. One is to let it just hang like a weight around our neck forever. The other is to use it as a prompt. You know, we may regret things we have done or not done, but
right.
that's a reminder. The reason we're having the regret is a reminder that something else is possible, and we can change that moving forward. Just because we have regrets
right.
from the past,
right.
that can be a prompt to positive action moving forward rather than something that we continue to carry forever.
I love that. So make it a lesson learned, a takeaway, what you might have missed out on or what you might have plunged into unwittingly, to now take away the lesson to do something differently or to change direction going forward. That's really great. And I love what you're saying about resentment and forgiveness, because there are so many people who do reach later stages of living, and it just they leave behind fractured relationships. There's the, you know, I wrote a book about adult sibling rivalry and Cold Wars and sisters, brothers that just stop talking for, you know, decades because of
yeah.
some slight way back when. And, you know, as you get older, life is so precious, and the people that are alive and close to you become so precious that forgiveness, as you say, if you can put it front and center, can really enhance your life phenomenally.
That's right. And so many people carry around this toxicity with them that saps their energy. And I've had many people come on the retreats that I lead, and I've had many teachers who've been involved with the hospice movement. And these people invariably will tell me that as they work with people who are nearing the end of life, those who have the hardest time dying well, those who just can't let go, those who just seem to be carrying misery with them to their deathbed, tend to be people who have a whole lot of heavy stuff that has been unforgiven. And so, forgiveness, I think, is probably the most powerful thing in the world for freeing our spirits up, for freeing our joy up, for freeing our energy up. And it's not easy. And it's not something where we sit down one weekend and do it, or we go to some workshop or something. Like all inner work and growth work, it's something that we do over a period of time with commitment because it's important to us.
Right. It becomes a matter of what's most important to you. You know, being right, we all feel wronged by people. We all feel hurt.
Yes.
But, you know, can you accept people for their foibles and limitations and still value them despite, you know, their shortcomings and make allowances? Now, obviously, there are betrayals. I wrote a book, How Could You Do This to Me? There are certain betrayals that people have experience that if the person who betrayed them is not going to take any kind of responsibility or ownership, forgiveness is hard. So what happens if you get to this point of life, the conscious aging point of life, and there have been, you know, treacherous betrayals in your wake? How do you encourage people to forgive or move on and still bring vitality into their life? So that they don't hold a grudge, so that they don't want to go out and, you know, just retaliate against an ex or a child or whomever.
Well, you know, I think, there are whole books on forgiveness. And you and I could have a very, very long conversation on forgiveness. It's not just one quick thing. But what I can definitely say, I think, is that it's important for people to understand that them holding on to the lack of forgiveness, to the resentment, even if they have been seriously wounded, holding on to this is toxic to us. It's not hurting the other person, you know, who may have wounded us. You know,
right.
It's us that we're hurting. It's us that's carrying this heavy load that are keeping ourselves imprisoned. You know, and I think oftentimes when people think about this and they begin to realize that this is incredibly counterproductive, it doesn't serve me to hold on to it. Now, in terms of letting go, you know, there are so many resources. There are so many good books out there. There's so many teachers out there. And there's so many good counselors and therapists who can help us if we're holding on to something that we know is not serving us. And so I think the mark of a conscious elder is somebody who recognizes that, you know, I really need some help here if I'm going to thrive. And it's just too much for me to do on my own. But I'm going to be courageous enough to find the help I need to help me do it. And I think that could make a big difference for many.
I think that's a great suggestion and you know, really a terrific idea. Going back to what you were saying about it's toxic to us, the image I got as you were speaking, it's like an open wound that just doesn't heal. And then, of course, the old expression, seeking revenge and retaliation is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Yeah, that's right.
You really just poison your own system. So while we still have some time in this segment, let's talk about what you were saying earlier in terms of the notions and the beliefs that people sort of internalize and carry around about what it means to be old. And can you elaborate on some of them? You know, just as a bygone, I heard one of the people saying, well, you know, I'm 76. I'm old now. And I was talking with him, one of my patients, and I said, you're 76, young. You know, if you say you're 76 old, you're going to feel 76 old. if you say 76 young, you're going to feel 76 young. So to your point, it is a state of mind. But what are some, the notion that, well, now I'm at what age? And by the way, I get this with so many patients who have elder parents. I kind of think it starts at around 70, and they start to say, well, I'm 72, or I'm 81, or I'm, 79. And they begin with their age as licensed to say and do and be as mean as awful as they want, that somehow their age entitles them to make unreasonable demands, to be nasty, to be catered to. All right, we are going to have to take a break. So I'd like to ask you when we come back, what are some of those ideas that people have about getting older and how people use age to entitle them to, just be what we call narcissistic. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to be back in just a minute after the break for more Pop Psych with Ron Pevney on HealthyLife.net.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you're trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com. The positive side of podcasts. Always have been, always will be. Uncensored, entertaining, timeless talk. HRNpodcast.com. Take a break from the dark side.
On call hour, I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I'm continuing my conversation with my guest, Ron Pevney, the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. We were talking before break about the people who use their age, the elders who use it as a rite of passage, that this is their right to be who they are, say what they want, do what they want. And, some of the ideas that people incorporate about what aging is. So do you see it as a rite of passage that it gives people the entitlement to just say or do or demand whatever they want? Let's start with that.
I definitely see this transition from our working life into the retirement years. I definitely see it as a rite of passage, but I see it having the potential to be an empowering rite of passage. And not some kind of a rite of passage that gives people license just to bring forth the, all the petty and ugly qualities in themselves. Because there is indeed a life stage after after you know working life adulthood that is called elderhood, and it's a life stage that's characterized by continuing growth, a commitment to service, you know, to bringing forth those kind of qualities that can be of service to the world around us. But like with any rite of passage, a rite of passage requires work. It requires effort. It's not just something that happens. And so this journey into elderhood is indeed and can be a rite of passage for those who are willing to put the effort into it. But there's a huge, huge difference, Dr. Jane, between somebody who is really committed to try to bring forth the best of the elder in them and somebody who allows their aging to just bring forth all their shadow stuff and all their pettiness and all of that, and maybe even to somehow justify it, that I'm old now, so it's okay for me to bring forth all these qualities that, you know, are really pretty ugly and pretty petty.
Right.
And a lot of people, though, I think do allow age to be the excuse for bringing those forth. But, you know, that's not what my work is about. My work is about helping people see that they can shine and bring forth their best even as their bodies start to break down and they suffer the pains and everything like that. There's an inner light and there's a wisdom and there's a caring for the world and a caring for, you know, for the generations to come, caring for the young people. These are the kind of things that we can bring forth if we make the choice to bring them forth.
Sounds terrific. And before we wind up out of time, I naturally have to ask you, because we've talked about retirement, the medium age, 65, starting a new career, and yet we see our politicians all across the country who are, you know, well past the shelf life of 65. Trump is 78. Biden was 81, I believe, 81 or 82. You know, the ages are steep, certainly steeper than 65 and over and out. Well, what do you make of that? Is that modeling exactly what you're talking about, that you, if you have a career and you want to continue active and participating in the career, that you can choose not to retire, that, you know, that a choice for conscious aging may in fact be keep working?
Yeah, I definitely do not think that some age, you know, some defined age, 65, 66, or whatever somebody defines, should dictate the choices we make about the rest of our life. But I definitely think that we need to be self-aware enough to know when it's really time to let go of a career perhaps we've had, or certain types of work that we have had, or certain interests where we put our energy, to know when it's time to let go of certain things so that we can move on, as opposed to just holding on to something because we are desperate to have something to hold on to. And I think there certainly are politicians, you know, who have a wisdom and they have energy and they have a real contribution to make when they are well up there, maybe into their 80s. But like with people in a lot of jobs, it's true with a lot of politicians that they are desperate to hold on to something from who they have been, and so they hold on way past when they should be letting go and having new aspirations.
Yeah, I think it's very challenging for not only politicians but for people who have positions of you know, management, where they're running companies or they're, you know, leading businesses, which they've been invested in and committed to their whole life, not necessarily working in a career for somebody else, but more sort of a part of the business, the management.
Mm-hmm.
To let go of that, how do you see people doing that so that they still have a sense of power and importance and meaning to their lives?
Well, Dr. Jane, I think it is so important that people begin to give serious thought and reflection to their later years before they retire or before they reach the age of 65 or 66. You know, people in their 30s and 40s are over there planning, you know, all the financial aspects of what life's going to be like after retirement. Imagine if people begin to put some time and energy into imagining when the time comes where I have to let go of the particular work I've been doing, what's going to bring me fulfillment? Are there some other avenues of expression of my gifts that may not be the same one that's been, you know, so important to me up to now, but that are going to be able to allow me to continue to give my gifts and to feel I'm contributing and to feel proud of what I have to give? Are there some of those avenues that I can be anticipating so after retirement, then I can move into some of those kind of things in a healthy way rather than desperately hanging on to try to be who I have been for so long? It's work that you do ahead of time. And that it's the best investment I think we can possibly make of our life energy is to begin to do this ahead of time. And books like my book and many other I think good resources out there can help people begin to see the possibilities of their later years, of their elderhood, and begin to see what this kind of inner work is that they can do that can help prepare them so that when the day comes that they retire, if they choose to retire, that they feel they are really prepared and ready to make that passage into a new life stage in a healthy way with confidence and with trust.
And so this is all wonderful advice for everybody out there, that if you are at a stage of your life where you're saying, well, I'm not going to retire, Ron, what you're suggesting is start to think about it. Start to envision what you would like your life to look like down the road and start to plan for it so that when you reach the end of one road, you can start to travel on a new road. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom on conscious aging and your insight. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jane. I've enjoyed talking with you.
And everybody, you can get Ron's book, Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, on Amazon, at your favorite book retailers, and online at centerforconscious-eldering.com. Stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to take a break, but then it is going to be shrink wrap, so you don't want to miss it. Stick around.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person, Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com.
Remember, media with integrity, www.healthylife.net.
Welcome to the shrink wrap portion of the Dr. On Call Hour, where it's all about what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of not only celebrities, but all relationships. The celebrity stars shine so brightly, and we all look up to them, yet we're puzzled when they fall, so shrink wrap is here to shed light on all. And, of course, joining me now is Jay Cruz. Jay has extensive experience in broadcasting, which he's used to produce the numerous shows, as well as coach and further the positive vision of HealthyLife.net Radio. Okay, Joe, let's get cracking. I've got Jay Lowe on my mind and just fused the two. But let's start to talk about Jay Lowe and all that's been going on because, wow, did you see it coming?
Well, sort of, and thanks for having me on the segment. I'm really excited about this portion of the show, Dr. Jane. But
me too. It's more than a pleasure. We are going to have great fun, as are our listeners.
Yeah. Sort of signs a little bit. Number one, going back to an ex of any type, no matter who you are, super difficult. There's always something from the previous relationship unraveling. That's still underlying, whatever that is, whatever the issue was or is, has either been dealt with, changed, or is still festering under. But even though it was kind of intended as comedy, there was a Super Bowl commercial, I believe it was for Ben's favorite coffee shop, the Dunkin' Donuts people, and it was kind of funny. You know, he had Tom Brady, and they were doing some kind of cheesy dance presentation or whatever. And anyway, it was a commercial, and, you know, J-Lo was in it as well, and she, you know, she wasn't amused, and, you know, seemed, I mean, and she's acting, of course, acting like she wasn't amused, and at the end, you know, she just said this line, like, you know, she's kicking everyone out, and she goes, "Tom, you can stay." And it was just kind of a funny line, but then after that, there was the Tom Brady roast, where Ben sort of had that very odd, you know, meltdown, if you will, about people on social media. And it just at that point, I go, you know, something's probably not right in the Bennifer camp. And then we started hearing stories.
Right. It's so interesting. I love what you said about when you go back to an ex, that there are unresolved issues, conflicts, difficulties, and resentments. Like I was talking with my first guest, Ron Pevney, that every resentment's with us, and yet we have attachments to people, so we want to be with them, and we go into, am I lying to myself? You know, my current book, Am I Lying to Myself? How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth, that he wasn't so bad, she'll be more reasonable, we can work it out without really looking at the nitty-gritty of what working it out means, of where the resentments accrued, of how come you couldn't work it out the first time, and most importantly, what didn't work? What has to change? What has to be different? Because, you know, people, we get attached. We have these strong feelings of love and desire for somebody, but it does not mean you're able to live with that person and navigate the day-to-day bumps and, you know, speed bumps and pressures and tensions of day-to-day living, of who's making the coffee, of who's cleaning the coffee, of, you know, I want to go to bed now, but the TV's on, it's too loud. No, can't you go to sleep earlier? But wait, it's too cold in here. No, I can't sleep if it's any hotter. I mean, I can go on and list 1,000, just the daily nuances of living. Then you layer it, like you had with J-Lo and Ben, who were superstars and approached their celebrity very different. I mean, that was the core to their demise, as I remember it, if you as well, the first time out that he couldn't handle, and he was very upfront and forward about it, he could not handle her being so socially media and celebrity driven. And he just didn't want that kind of coverage. And so this time, I do remember hearing where they interviewed him when she was making this whole movie. And he said, well, we're very different, but I realize I can't try to hold her back. So he might have realized it. But to me, it sounds like he didn't accept it, because apparently he rumbled and made conveyed that he was very upset with the fact that she shared the personal letters that he wrote her, I think in her movie or on Instagram or somewhere. So her boundary for personal and what you share and his boundary of personal and what you share was extremely different. And I don't think they ever, ever were able to negotiate that.
That's a very good point. You know, and there's a lot of other couples that aren't famous that deal with this now, just with the social media sharing, or, you know, what do we talk about? What do we announce to our friends? I have there's kind of a joke on social media, if you will, that when you see a profile or get a friend request from a profile and it's, you know, a friend and their significant other, you're like, somebody did something wrong. Because we're now sharing a profile. Somebody overstepped the boundary, and somebody who was just a little too cute from back in the day contacted, and, you know, there's too many likes or whatever going on. You know, social media is definitely different. And, you know, but, you know, Ben, he signed up for the, you know, the being a movie star and stuff, you know, that he's involved with. So there is a huge part of the give and take. It just might be things that you share with your partner, in this case, J-Lo,
right,
that you maybe don't want to share on social media or, you know, in a celebrity interview. We're coming up on a break in just a moment, but I did want to kind of leave everybody with a bit of a thought on this particular subject, and that, you know, one of Ben's best friends, famously Matt Damon, also an actor, and, you know, he chose a significant other, and I remember reading in an interview when he did get married, he got married to a citizen, or whatever you call somebody who's not in the, you know, not in the industry when you're famous. You know,
not
if you're
a celebrity.
Right. She's just a person. She has a life, I'm sure, successful, and has done A, B, and C, and, you know, has qualities, but we don't know her, which, you know, he was like, I love it because, you know, I do my work is demanding enough. And then I come home, and then we have a life, and nobody pries into my off-screen life. So maybe Matt could have imparted some advice on Ben, and maybe they talked over that. But I also heard that Jennifer was like, I don't like you spending so much time with Matt. So who knows?
Well, let's put a pin in that, because to this point of, you know, what do you share, I think it's helpful to talk about it just for people who are struggling with that, because this goes on in all relationships, and like we said, you don't have to be a celebrity. And the other piece of it is that, you know, for the celebrities, Ben has said, again, publicly, and many celebrities say this, I don't like the having to share my personal life, but it comes with the job. Let's put a pin in that and talk some more about that when we get back. And we will be back in just a minute here at HealthyLife.net for some more shrink wrap. So don't go away, because we're having a lot of fun.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If there was a hotline to heaven,
Who Would You Call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com. How can you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of 2 separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Hour. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and Jake Cruz and I are shrink wrapping today. When we went to break, we were talking about Ben Affleck and J-Lo, and really the pitfall for them from way back was the celebrity attention, her devotion to it, his lack of, and apparently the straw that broke the camel's back this go-round was he felt really violated that she had shared his personal love letters that he had written to her publicly. So, Jay, we started to talk during the break. There's a real takeaway here. I hear this all the time with so many of the couples and people, patients that I work with, who will say, one will say to the other, how could you share that information, or why would you tell them about my mother or my brother, or why did you tell them we had this argument, or how could you talk about our sex life with your friend? I mean, I can go on and on and on about what people do share and feel comfortable sharing that is extremely uncomfortable and upsetting to a partner, a sibling. What do you think about that? Like, how do you think it's best for people to negotiate what to talk about if one person is really comfortable with loose boundaries and the other one feels embarrassed or exposed or vulnerable by what you're talking about? Because I have people, one person says, you're ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm comfortable. Do you think that the person who's more open needs to pull back and respect the other person, or do they start to feel controlled that then I can't be myself and just be open? Where do you land with this?
That's a great question, and probably not something easy to answer. It depends, really depends on the person. I also think, you know, the situation. If these were, you know, I didn't see the documentary with that and didn't hear the letters, but, you know, if they were, you know, extremely personal, like, in a lot of ways, I think those should stay personal. And again, in a couple like this, you know, super celebrities, like, you know, I would want to keep a number of things personal just between us, while we're already living a super public life. You know, on the other end, once you write something and you hand it out or release it, you know, an artist and authors, writers say this all the time. Once you release it, it's no longer yours. That opinion, right, that public opinion, or the person that the letter was written to can now have their opinion and kind of run with it. You know, they're not under any, you know, unless you, you know, kind of give it with that caveat that this is for your eyes only. And, you know, I don't want this shared with anybody, friends, family, documentaries, whatever it is. You know, this is just something between us. And then, you know, bring it up that, you know, I personally don't like sharing everything. A little bit of stuff is fine, but there are certain things I'd like to keep private between us because I just like to keep certain things private, if that's okay.
Right. So I love what you're saying. Consider and at least let the other person have some input. I mean, I know for myself, I'm a trained psychoanalytic psychotherapist, and in our training, we were taught to never disclose anything in our work. And when I started to write books, I became more exposed to the media. But I know when my mother passed away and my editor encouraged me to write a book about my personal afterlife experience with her, which was so compelling and abundant, I remember just recoiling and saying, I can't talk about my personal experience with my mother in a book for anyone, like you say, once it's out there, anyone to read. And, you know, with her encouragement saying, look, you're experiencing something that you could really help people with, you could really teach people how to connect in the way that you have and with such abundance. But it was very hard to move past that point of the personal point into the public sharing in the interest of helping. And so the question, I think, becomes when J-Lo is sharing certain things, maybe the question to ask is, to what end? Like, why are you sharing it? Are you sharing something personal that happened that you want to help a friend or you want to help, another couple that you're out to dinner with? Like, well, this is what happened to us and you can learn from our experience. Like you were saying, what's the takeaway? But, you know, what we share and how much we share, certainly look at the Kardashians and all these other celebrities whose, you know, their lives are open books. Like, why? What's the objective? And I think asking that can help guide people to figure out what to keep in and what to leave out.
Absolutely. And, you know, those letters may have been something she felt very heartfelt and maybe touched and wanted to share a certain aspect of Ben that maybe others didn't know, and it maybe just didn't work out as she intended in his eyes. So, you know, there could have been good intentions.
Beautiful. What you just said is beautiful, because that may very well have been that she was so enamored and in love with him, and here he's telling her how much he loved her, that she was so proud of it and thrilled by it. And, you know, felt so wonderful because of it that she wanted to share that. So, you know,
I mean,
again,
personally, I'd be like, yeah, I wrote those poems, and that's how I pulled J-Lo to be my wife. So, scoreboard there, poetry works.
Take a little credit. Well said. So before we run out of time, let's just change topics and jump ship quickly, because certainly Leah Remini, J-Lo's friend, who had a lot to say about her marrying Ben in the first place, she just got divorced after, I don't know, 21, 22 years. And Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott, they just recently finalized their divorce. And their divorce, from what I remember in the news, was on and off, on and off. Leah Remini's divorce came, it seemed like, out of the blue, whereas Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott, they were in therapy, again, sharing their dirty laundry publicly. They've been open about the difficulties in their marriage. But switching gears a little bit, it seems it doesn't matter if it's a new relationship that's renewed from the past or a long-standing relationship from the past, it's hard to keep things, to keep love alive and to keep relationships working, it seems.
Yeah, they really are work, you know, and there could be times where maybe you're going along for a period where it seems smooth sailing, or one partner might think, oh, this was great, we haven't had any issues or conflicts, and then all of a sudden they're driving out, and the other one goes, honey, we need to talk, you know, and then all of a sudden you find out maybe the other, your partner is not so happy with the way things are going, and you know, that could be any number of things, you know, you name it, it could be, you know, part of this, and Tori Spelling and Dylan McDermott, apparently a little substance abuse and some infidelity was involved. Not that that's always a deal breaker, but in trying to work through it, it apparently became a bit of a deal breaker. You know, with Leah Remini, she's been going through a series of life changes. There was the very famous TV show where she famously cut ties with Scientology, something she had been involved with and had grown up in, and something that's very secretive for people that are not involved with it, don't understand it. So that was captivating, and maybe, you know, with that particular belief, it sometimes can be a deal breaker. If one decides to break, the other might decide to stay and stay with the you know, the Scientology stuff, and others might, you know, go. I mean, Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman was not so into it.
Katie Holmes.
Right. So in this case, maybe Leah's husband is more into it than she was. I'm not sure. I haven't followed it. It's newer news to me. But, you know, she's making a lot of changes.
I mean, to interrupt, but what you're saying is so on target, because it really, it becomes values. And whether you're Leah Remini or, you know, Tori Spelling, I think what happens is if you're married for a length of time or living with somebody and your core beliefs and values change, that's going to transform your self-identity and self-worth and self-esteem. And so the person that you married when you were younger and had those values and beliefs, even if you invested in Scientology that much, she married him, and who she is now, given her transformation of a value and belief system changing, changed who she was in the marriage.
Yeah, and that definitely happens. And there's, you know, other cases. Maybe both people enjoy a glass of wine. One person goes sober, can't be around wine anymore. Or,
right.
You know, something like that.
Well, those are the hot spots that people have to navigate and compromise and balance every day of their life. You know, somebody wants to eat healthy, somebody wants to eat less healthy. Somebody wants to, you know, go to the gym and exercise. Somebody doesn't. These are all the, you know, the how do we consider what each person's needs are and how do we balance them and respect them and still feel that there's room for us, like with the personal boundaries, without feeling that we're being controlled or getting resentful of them because of it. Well, I must say, this shrink wrap time went by very quickly, and Jay, thank you so much for, as always, an insightful conversation on the trials and triumphs of celebrity relationships.
You're welcome.
And what we can learn.
It was fun.
It was fun. And everybody, join me next month for a new episode of the Doctor on Call Hour with more fabulous guests here at HealthyLife.net. Be sure to visit me online at www.drjanegreer.com and check out my book, Am I Lying to Myself? How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth. It's available on Amazon.com. And also follow me online at www.drjanegreer.com for relationship tips and advice. And thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.